Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know if any of you have ever heard this, but for some reason, multiple times, many times in my life, people have told me, you don't wear white shoes when you're traveling abroad. Or white sneakers, sorry. You can wear white shoes, not white sneakers. Because, apparently, you wear white sneakers in Europe, everyone will know immediately that you're an American. For some reason, I just keep hearing that throughout my life. People keep telling me that. And my reaction is always kind of the same thing. Number one, well, I never wear white sneakers anyway, so it don't really matter. But number two, why do I care if people in Europe know that I'm an American? And granted, there are some customs you want to know and understand so that you don't offend people and so you know how to get along in that, but I'm not trying to hide the fact that I'm an American. In our text this morning, Paul speaks to us about not hiding who we are. Our text this morning comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And in these verses, Paul says, you are of Christ. You are of the calling. Therefore, walk worthy of it. You don't need to hide your white sneakers. You don't need to hide who you are, but rather show off who you are and the gifts that we have through Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at verse 1, Ephesians 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. You notice that Paul doubles down on that word call, the calling with which you were called. There's a reason for that. Maybe you remember that the Greek word for church is ecclesia. And that Greek word ecclesia means those who are called out. So Paul's using this word that would have been a daily part of their lives, right? Parents get up in the morning and tell their kids, get dressed. We're going to the calling. We're going to ecclesia, the group of the calling. We are part of the church, the ecclesia, the group of the calling. And Paul's pointing them to that word that they would have used as a regular part of their life. We are of the calling. And he says, because you are of the calling, walk worthy of that calling. Now, our own word for church, comes from the German Kirche, which comes actually, again, from the Greek, Kyriake, which is the possessive form of Kyrios, of the Lord. Oikos Kyriakes, house of the Lord. And so when we talk about the church, well, we probably don't stop to think very much often what that word means, but again, we're saying that we are of Christ. We are of the Lord. And reminding ourselves of that all the time. Both of these ideas, of the calling and of the Lord, are very prominent in our text this morning. You are of Christ. You are of the Lord. Therefore, you don't need to hide your white sneakers, right? You don't need to hide that, but show off who you are and what you have in Christ. Paul speaks about this also in his letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice what he says there, this transformation, this growing in Christ, like we were talking about with the kids, takes place through the renewing of your mind, which comes, as Jesus tells us in our gospel reading, through hearing his word, through that bread of life that comes down from heaven. Just as healthy eating and exercise can transform our physical bodies, so also healthily eating God's word in the right way can renew our spiritual bodies. This passage, Romans 12, 2, that I just quoted there, is actually one of the favorite passages of the Amish. They love that passage. They point to it all the time. Don't be conformed to this world. And you can see how they live a life and it's showing that they're not going to be conformed to this world. But I kind of wonder if they forget to read the next phrase there. Because Paul says, how does this transformation take place? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a transformation that doesn't take place by how we live and act in this world, by refusing to use computers and telephones, but it's a transformation that takes place from the gift of Jesus. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He is the one that transforms us through his word of forgiveness. That's what David says also in his psalm, blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven. That blessedness, that transformation takes place when we hear that word of forgiveness and rejoice in what Jesus has done for us. Then we are renewed by Christ's power. In our text this morning, Ephesians 4, Paul begins this text with the fact of that transformation, right? He begins with the fact of that calling, with the fact that you are of Christ. He doesn't say, strive to be transformed. He doesn't say, strive to be of Christ. No, he says, you are called. You are of Christ. This is the gift of God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, strive to walk worthy of it. Strive to show it in your life. Not to hide it, but to live it. He continues, Ephesians 4, verse 2. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. That phrase, that last phrase there, bearing with one another in love, now that tells us a lot. It implies a lot about who we are. Because when Paul says that we should bear with one another in love, it's very clear that when he's talking to us, when he's talking to the church on this earth, we often call the church militant, right? The group of Christians that are still struggling on this earth, he's not talking to a group of perfect holy people. If we were already perfect and holy, we wouldn't need to bear with one another in love. He's talking to a group of weak and sinful individuals. That's why we need to bear with one another. And the church militant, the group of believers on this earth, it's not that some are weak and sinful and others are strong and holy and perfect. That's the way we sometimes take this passage. I, as a strong and saint, a perfect person, I have to bear the sins of others. No, that's not what Paul is saying. What he's saying is he is talking to all of us who are weak and sinful, but despite that fact, despite our weakness and our sinfulness, we are part of the Una Sanctum, the one holy Christian church. We are of the calling. We are of Christ despite our weakness and our failings. Therefore, because you are also weak and sinful, why don't you bear the weakness and the sinfulness of others? You think of Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't have a lot of personal experience with that. But I imagine if you go in there with the attitude of, well, I'm better than these other people, it's not going to work out very well, right? Those groups, they get together because they're all struggling with the same weakness. In the same way, we get together in Christ because we are all struggling with weakness and sinfulness. And so Paul says, bear with one another. In this way, we imitate Christ. And we show that we are of Christ when we bear with one another in love. This is the burden that Christ, in a sense, is the burden that Christ asks us to bear. He doesn't ask us to physically, literally, crucify ourselves. We don't have to bear the burden of the cross. He tells us to take up our cross and bear it and follow him. Sorry, but he's talking, metaphorically there. We don't literally have to crucify ourselves, right? He doesn't ask us to be, that's the burden he bore for us. He doesn't ask us to go find a cave and become hermits. He doesn't ask us to avoid all modern conveniences and technology like the Amish does. None of those burdens does he place on us. But this one thing he asks of us, that we bear with one another in our weakness and in our sinfulness. Just as he has forgiven us, so we forgive one another. The Apostle John reminds us in 1 John 3:23, this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we should love one another. Now, this bearing that Paul talks about, when he uses that word bear, endure, it makes it sound like an onerous, a difficult task, something that's heavy. And It is, because Paul's talking to our sinful flesh. Now, what Paul talks about here is something difficult and heavy to our sinful flesh. We don't like to forgive. We much prefer to hold on to resentments and make sure we prove that we're right and get revenge on those who have harmed or wronged us. So when he speaks to our sinful flesh, that is a heavy burden to bear. But in reality, it's not a heavy burden at all. In fact, it's a very, very joyful thing to do. Learning how to forgive one another makes our lives much, much more pleasant. I've been doing a lot of staining and sealing of wood the last couple weeks. And those who forgive learn how to live in forgiveness. Well, you could easily compare them to wood that has been well sealed. The water just rolls right off, like water off a duck's back, right? The things and the petty things of this world just roll right off of them because they've learned how to let it go, how to forgive one another. But those who will not learn how to forgive, they're like the raw wood before it's been sealed. Now the water seeps in and rots it from the inside. And learning how to forgive, that sounds like a heavy burden to our sinful flesh, but it's really a joyful task. It makes our lives much more pleasant. Proverbs 17:9 reminds us, love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. Christ has forgiven all of us, all of our sins, by his death on the cross. And what a wonderful thing that is. We rejoice. That's why we're here on Sunday morning, isn't it? Because we rejoice in that gift that Christ has given us, that gift of the forgiveness of sins. And so now we can rejoice even more. We can make our lives even more joyful. Our lives are already joyful because of Christ's forgiveness. We can add to that joy by forgiving one another, or we can allow hatreds and resentments to rot away inside of us. We show that we are of Christ. We rejoice that we are of the calling when we learn, like Christ, to be quick to forgive. We're not very good at it, but we keep trying, right? Knowing that we're forgiven in Jesus. Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring, striving to keep the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. And that last phrase, the bond of peace. Paul tells us that peace of God that surpasses all understanding. We say that at the end of every sermon, right? That peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that peace that we have because Jesus has forgiven us our sins, that is the thing that binds us together. Now, we're not all united in a lot of other things. We're not all united in our favorite foods or in our favorite sports teams, right? And we have different interests outside of church. But the thing that unites us is that love of Christ, that peace that we have through Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, well, this is the thing that unites us. This is the thing we rejoice in, that bond of peace. Strive to keep it. We all know how sometimes people park their cars in between the parking spots, right? Right over the line. And they do that so you can't park too close to them. And it can be kind of annoying if the parking lot's full. But they do that because they're zealous to keep their car pristine. They don't want people parking. I'm not saying it's a good thing to do. It's not a good thing to do. But it does show their zeal for preserving or keeping their car from getting scratched. And so here God says we should have that same zeal, not with regard to our cars, but with regard to keeping that bond of forgiveness. And this is only possible, of course, through constant. How is it possible? It's possible through constant daily confession. We confess our sins to God and one another, and then receiving and rejoicing in his forgiveness. Sometimes we see a couple who's had a long and happy marriage. And from the outside, we might say, wow, I wish I had a spouse like that. Oh, they have a long and happy marriage because they have such a good spouse. But if we were actually to talk about them about it, we probably would find out pretty quickly that, well, they had their rough patches too. And the difference isn't that their spouse is the perfect spouse. The difference is that they have learned how to forgive, how to bear with one another. That's the thing that makes for a long and happy marriage, the willingness to forgive instead of living in those resentments. And that's the thing that helps us to keep and grow in that bond of unity that we have through Jesus Christ. You remember Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. When we think of a peacemaker, we might think of somebody like Gandalf standing between the three armies, telling them to stop fighting and calling the leaders to be united. But that's not what Jesus is talking about in that passage. He's not talking about somebody that interferes in others and gets others to make peace. He's talking about people who make peace in their own lives, in their own trouble. He's talking about when the leaders of the armies, not somebody else, comes and forces them to make peace, but the leaders of the army say, I'm going to forgive rather than seeking my own pride. Willingness to forgive one another, a willingness to receive humiliation rather than to give humiliation to others. As the Holy Spirit reminds us in this passage, we're bound together by that forgiveness, that peace that comes from knowing that we are forgiven in Jesus Christ. And so we want to share that same forgiveness with one another. Ephesians 4:4-6. For there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. In these verses now, Paul moves from talking about how we share our faith and how we walk in that calling to reminding us of what we have in Christ Jesus. You have the same Lord. You are of one body and one spirit. You have all of these gifts from God. One body. No one's going to go home today and purposely take a knife and just jab it right through their arm. Right? At least I hope not, right? We don't harm our own body because we know that I'm going to feel the pain. It's not just my arm that's going to feel the pain. It's the whole body that's going to hurt. And in the same way, God reminds us, we shouldn't, when we attack and hurt one another, the whole body hurts. We're hurting ourselves. One spirit, the same spirit who gives his gifts to us all and works in all of us. And so why do you lift yourself up and say, well, I'm better than that person? The gifts that you have are from the same spirit that works in that other person. One Lord who died for me just as he died for my brother. So why should, if I rejoice in the forgiveness that God has given to me, and I pray that God forgives my sins, then why should I hold my brother's sin against him? The same Lord died for us all. One baptism in which we are all washed. My sins are washed away just like my brother. All of these things are ours in Christ. We don't strive to obtain them. We don't work to earn them. They're given to us through Jesus Christ. He strove and worked to attain them for us. Our possessing these things is not dependent upon how well we grow in our Christian faith. They're given to us as a gift through Jesus Christ. But because of that, because we are of Christ, because we are of the calling, therefore Paul says, show that. You don't need to hide your white sneakers. You don't need to hide who you are. But share the joy of Christ and the joy of his forgiveness with one another. We are called out of this world. We are called out of this world to be of Christ. Therefore, walk worthy of these gifts that you have received. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.